you seated if you would. And at this time, we're going to ask the young ones, the little ones, to come up for the children's message, because what the kids are doing today is the children's message. I want them to understand everything that's going on. So bring them on up. Come on up, the little ones. And the older guys are going to help get them seated too. They're going to help get them seated. So bring the little ones up. Come on and come on up. Or if you're young at heart, you can come up too. While the kids are coming, we do want to thank all of our veterans. Thank you for your sacrifice, for your service for this great nation. And we appreciate each and every one of you. And I know you have my thanks, you have my praise, and I know that this congregation feels the same way. So thank you, and God grant you his grace and peace.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dear veterans, those of us who have not served will never understand the sacrifices you have made, both in times of peace and of war. We will never fully understand what you were required to do or how you were able to do it. We will never fully understand the depth of your scars, but what we can offer you is this. We see you, we recognize your humanity, and we send you love that is gentle, patient, and healing. With blessing and gratitude, we ask that you remember you are loved. Thank you.
Can stay there knowing all is well while you're standing on your feet.
Keeping watch, protecting shore to shore and the air and oceans too. Defending freedom at all costs for the red, the white, and blue.
Thank you, Lord, thank you, men and women, brave and strong. To those who serve so gallantly, we sing this grateful song.
To the soldiers who have traveled on to countries far and near, in peace and war you paid the price for the cause you hold so dear.
That we may wake each morning bright and know that freedom rings because of your great sacrifice.
Good morning. At this time, we would like to present the collection that we have collected from to Ms. Gloria Wilhelm for the Faith American Auxiliary. And we would like to ask all the veterans to stand at this time so the children can hand you a present.
Service veterans, and I don't mean to talk loud, thank you boys and girls so much for collecting items for our veterans at the State Veterans Home, and I continue to nominate this group each year for a Service Above Self Award, and hopefully someone from this group will be represented December the 12th at Catawba College to get that award. Thank you. I can't help but notice how this program, this veterans program, has grown in the last several years, and appreciate the youth of your church so much. Thank you.
I got one. Y'all. Y'all need to make sure that them little fellas get their sucker. Yep, that's important stuff. Well, as the children are leaving, let's all stand as we are able for the apostolic greeting and our Kyrie canticle. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Now let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, show mercy to your children who humbly pray that we who have no confidence in our worth may not be judged but tenderly received. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Shall we
Let's pass the peace for a few moments.
Are we back in? We're in there. Okay. Almost. Isn't it a wonderful thing doing that? It's great. Our first reading this morning is from Exodus, the third chapter. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am, has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" This ends the reading. Glory to you, O Lord. Now let us read responsively Psalm 148. Alleluia. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name only is exalted. His splendor is over earth and heaven. Our second reading comes from 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This ends the reading. Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they ask him a question saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her. And likewise, all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife. And Jesus said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. Then some of the scribes answered Jesus, you have spoken well. For they no longer dared to ask him any questions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. At this time, I would like to start with just a short prayer. Most precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we pray today that you would open our hearts and minds. Help us to scatter this seed today and let it land where it will. And God, that you may do with it as you see fit. Give us words to say and open hearts and minds. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here a very interesting situation of the Sadducees. The Sadducees, this is a group, this is a sect of Judaism in the day of Jesus. Just think, as the Pharisees are a sect, there's another group called the Essenes that many people think that John the Baptist was part of, and there's some people even argue Jesus was an Essene. Not so sure about all that. But there were many groups that came about after the destruction of the temple in 586 B.C. And as they lost this sacrificial cultus, as they called in the academic circles, they began to have to rediscover how Judaism was going to work, and all these different sects came about. And think of it no differently than in Christianity today. We have Lutherans, we have Presbyterians, we have Catholics, we have Baptists, we have Pentecost. We have all these different, still Christians, just different aspects, and they focus on different elements of theology. Same thing happening here. But the Sadducees were very sad, you see, as they say, because they did not believe in a resurrection. And they were against the teachings of Jesus because of this, because he taught of a resurrection. And the point of their teaching was there is no resurrection. Jesus, why would you waste our time? Well, here's the thing. Jesus puts them in their place, reminds them of God being the God of the living and not of the dead. And let's go and let's look and let's see if we can figure out today how God is the God of the living, how the resurrection is the central point of all history, of all of time, and of our faith. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If there is no resurrection, as the Apostle Paul says, and I'm paraphrasing him to a little extent, if there is no resurrection, then we of all people are most miserable. There is no hope. There is nothing to rest our faith upon. As a matter of fact, all of Christianity hinges upon this one fact that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Was with the children yesterday in confirmation. And one of the points that we were trying to get across to them at some time is that the resurrection is what all of our faith hinges upon. And how do we know this? We were talking about honoring the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath, in its truest sense, in the way it is written in the commandments, is Saturday. It is Saturday. It is the seventh day. But what do? We set aside another day. And besides that, I could talk to you about the Sabbath never closing. Every day is a perpetual Sabbath if you go back and look in Genesis. But we have chosen in the Christian church another day to be set aside, to be holy to God. And that day is Sunday, the first day of the week. And the reason we do it is simply this. Because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. And every week is a reminder to us of the resurrection. Not just on Easter Sunday, not just during that holy week do we commemorate this. We commemorate it every Sunday, and we should every day in our lives. Now, that people are alive in Christ and that God is alive. Let's go back to the Old Testament and let's look at some things. Moses at the burning bush, as we see in our Old Testament scripture today, is confronted by the God of Israel in the burning bush. Up until this time, as far as we know, God has not revealed his name to anybody. Abraham, we don't know that he knew God's name. Jacob, we don't know. Joseph, we don't know that any of them actually knew the name of God, because any God worth his salt has a good name. And at this time, Moses asked, what is your name? Because when I go to tell them, they're going to say, who are you anyway to come and tell us anything, Moses? But who am I to tell them sent me? And he says this, am that I am. That is my name. Yahweh is how they think it was pronounced. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the tetragrammaton. You can get into a lot of things. Yahweh. I am that I am. I guess in the South, we would say it this way, I is. I is. I is. He just is. He exists. He doesn't try to prove it. He doesn't try to walk through some long history. Well, here's how you know that I'm God and you can prove. Forget trying to prove that there's a God. Why? Because it only can come through faith. It only can come from outside of us through the Spirit. The Spirit of God. We are saved by grace through faith, comma. Not works lest any man should boast, comma. Now we go all the way back. I know enough English to know that. Takes us all the way back to the first clause. And this, the gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. It's not what you do. It's not what you have. It's what God places within you, and it will grow in you, and it will do all these things. Now, just as God is and is alive and residing in heaven, that is his place of residence. That is where Jesus sits right now. He is alive in the body. Many people want to deny that Jesus was resurrected in the body, and we will get to that. But let's go back a little bit and let's look at us. Let's look at us as human beings. What happened to us? We were created in the image of God. There's lots of ways you can hash that out, whatever that means. But we are created by him. And what happened? It says that God created this man. His name is Adam. He just calls him the Adam. He doesn't get the name Adam until later. Adam. Adam simply means this, the man of dirt. The man of dirt, or the earthling, if you will, if you want to be a little bit more Star Trek-ish and get out into time a little bit more, the earthling. But the man of dirt, he's just a piece of dirt. Remember, at Ash Sunday, what do? From dust I came, from dust I shall return. That's all we are. We're dirt. Yeah, have you ever seen them hold up the sign, my name is Mud? Well, guess what? All of us, we're mud. We just came from mud. All of us are mud when we go all the way back. But he creates this dirt man. What does God do? It says that God blew into the nostrils life. Into the nostrils of Adam. And he became what? A living being. Your breath comes from God. You became a living being or a living spirit. The word is ruah in the Hebrew. The word ruah in the Hebrew means wind or spirit or breath. He breathed the spirit, the breath. So we are an eternal being because why? Our life comes from the Father himself. If we are going to take our faith seriously and say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I happen to believe in that. He breathed life into us, his spirit, his ruah, his wind, his breath. Even the Greek word pneuma, or spirit, also revolves around wind. What happens on the day of Pentecost? It happened, a great wind blew. Pneuma, think pneumatics. I never understood this until I got to thinking. You know, pneumatic tools, you ever had an air compressor that runs tools? That's pneumatic, that's air, that's wind, that's breath, that's spirit. There's a lot of power behind those things. And there is great power behind the pneuma or the ruah of God, the spirit. So we are become living beings. And so along with Abraham, along with Isaac, along with Jacob, they are living and so are we, and we will continue on and they continue on. Abraham was buried. Isaac has been buried. Jacob has been buried. We've got hundreds if not thousands buried over here. There are people buried all over this world. We call them dead. No, the body is dead, but they are alive in Christ for what happens. They are waiting on the resurrection. They are waiting upon that. Here is the thing. I want you to understand that when we lose someone, they are not gone. They are still very present. They are alive with us. They never have gone. They are still here. As a matter of fact, as the great cloud of witnesses, they are still sitting in this sanctuary today with us. They are cheering us on. They are here. They are the great cloud of witnesses. They have gone nowhere. They're still alive. Thank God for that. There are many people, even in church circles, in academic circles, in seminaries and other places, who want to tell you that Jesus and that all these people are just dead. Jesus was not resurrected. There's been whole heresies created to this. Go back and look at the laughing God. I don't have time to get into that. The laughing Christ, rather. He is alive, and he was raised in his body. You do not bury people who are alive unless you're just some sick, demented human being. Only people heard that he was dying. He was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. He is living. All of these loved ones, they are living. They are with us. God is the God of the living. We are eternal from our very conception because of that life, that breath, that ruah of God. We are still alive, and we will live to infinity. You see, there's not a lot taught about heaven. There's not a lot taught about what happens later because it's taken for granted. There's not a lot. Not a lot to preach about unless you want to make stuff up. And I'm not here to make things up. But I do know this, they are alive. They are with God and they are with us. I don't claim to know everything there is to know about the spiritual world. I just know it exists. But one day it's going to become physical as we are going to be resurrected. Sadly for the Sadducees, they are totally wrong, and Jesus lets them know it. There is a resurrection, and we wait upon it, and it is a promise. And as the second Thessalonians, oh, that's hard to say, the second Thessalonians chapter, boy, that's a tongue twister, says this, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from even us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Don't believe that Jesus, don't believe that that resurrection has taken place. Believe that Jesus has taken place. But he says, let no one deceive you in any way. Don't be deceived. It doesn't matter how many big letters they have beside of their name. It doesn't matter. He is alive. God is the God of the living and not the dead. And it's a joyful thing and a wonderful thing to think about. You see, this is just the audition for what's going to happen later. This is just what we're just waiting for the screen to open on the big picture of what's going to happen. Because why? Because death was transformed through Jesus Christ. And now we live in eternal life. We live in it. From the very conception we are in, and we live in resurrection, hope, and promise, just as those folks do and you and I do. There is a resurrection. It will take place. I don't know when. I don't know how God's going to do it. As a matter of fact, that really doesn't even matter. What matters is I know he will do it, and because of faith, I believe that he will do it. And I believe that he is the God of the living. I hope that brings hope to you. I hope that brings joy to you. Understanding that we live great in a wonderful promise. That our loved ones, they are not truly gone. And I want to give you this before we close. There is a thing that I have studied, and it is called continuing bonds. People say, well, you know, the dead are dead and they're just gone. You see, we try to get rid of them. Well, you need to get over it. No, you don't need to get over it. You never get over it. Trust me. You never get over a loved one passing away, a loved one dying. But here's the thing, a thing called continuing bonds. You don't think that the dead are alive? How many of you, and I include myself in it, have talked to people who have passed away? How many of you have talked to them? I talk to them a lot. I talk to them. Why? Because I understand they're still alive. I understand God is the God of the living. Why do we place flowers on graves? If somebody's just dead and they don't know any better, why put a flower on there? Unless you just want somebody to see you put a flower on there and it makes you feel good. This goes back to an old tradition. In the earlier days of humanity, when what they would do is people who were dead lived in the underworld. They lived there in the place of the dead. And guess what? You ate the offerings that your sons brought to you. So it was good to have a lot of sons, because if you didn't have no sons, you weren't going to eat in the afterlife. And what have we done? We have taken that now, understanding that no, they're not going to eat a sacrifice that we bring and place upon their grave. But no, we place flowers to remember them, to let them know we still care. We commune with them. This past week, we had All Saints Sunday. They're not gone. They're right here with us. They are alive. We commemorate them. We still live with them. We commune with them each and every day. And I tell people this often when somebody passes away and we're getting ready to close. When somebody dies, a loved one, do not be surprised if you see them, you hear them, if you feel their presence. It happens. Again, there are people, oh, that can't happen. No, 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 we don't know everything. We know in part and we see in part. We don't know all of what God is going through the spiritual world. But I know of people who have seen, who have heard, who have felt their loved one or that person coming to them at some time. Maybe it's a time of crisis. Maybe it's not even right after. Generally, it happens soon after, within the first 6 months or so. But it can happen years later. Years and years later, it can happen. Why? Because they are very alive. God lets them commune with us. Sometimes God lets them comfort us. Sometimes God allows these things. But today, I want you to understand that God is. He just is. Why he is, how he is, it don't matter. He is. Secondly, I want you to understand that he is the God of the living. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is the God of Pastor Nussman. He is the God of Pastor Wren. We could go on down the line of all those who have passed away. He is the God of your loved ones who are here. He is the God of my loved ones. Deal with us. He is the God of the living. I pray that we never forget that. Don't let anyone try to hinder you in your faith. Keep with the traditions that God has laid down for us, that has been handed to us. This is our tradition. It has been handed to us. And we know that they're alive through Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for this world and all of God's great creation. Most precious God, we thank you for this wonderful country that we live in. And we thank you for all of our veterans. For the past 250 years, that they have shed their blood, that they have made great sacrifice. You and I could be free today. And we thank you, Lord, that we're free, that we can come and worship you, that we can go in as we please. And God, that we can live a peaceable life. We're thankful for all of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. And we thank you for their family. And we thank you for all who have served this great and this wonderful nation. We pray, God, that you would always bless the United States of America. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we thank you for all of the saints who have gone before us. We thank you for this heritage that this church has, nearly 275 years. Many saints have come and gone, but God, they are still alive, still resting in you. They are here with us. Their presence is ever present, along with yours. We pray, God, that we will always remember they are alive, that you are the God of the living, not of the dead. Lord, help us today to be alive in you. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we pray for all those who are sick and who are hurting, all those on our prayer concerns, all of those who we name in our hearts right now. Father God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord guide and protect you this day and all.
Thank you.
For our veterans and their families, don't forget the meal right after service over in the fellowship hall. And now, go in peace and serve the Lord.